How's everybody this morning? Oh, go ahead.
You've seen any of the previous talks, you know, thrips are becoming, have become and continue to be an issue. This is a coordinated effort between the Mid-South Entomology Working Group, which is the individuals listed here at these institutions. What we try to do on many things, including cotton, is kind of keep an eye on the performance of the products and management strategies that are available to the growers. And this is just from our 2016 efforts. You've probably already seen this. Representative examples of thrips injury, it varies from kind of mild to pretty bad. I'm kind of proud of this one. I took this picture about 15 years ago. That plant has been out of the ground for 6 weeks, so it can be pretty severe. You can see yield differences. For us, further south, Tennessee and Virginia is a little bit different. They more consistently see yield reductions further south. We have the right weather, we can compensate for it, and usually see maturity delays. This is the primary species that you generally see on thrips. The Mid-South tobacco thrips is pretty much the predominant species. It's been identified in several surveys. This is just a picture of some eastern, western flower thrips and tobacco thrips females. For many years, Aldicarb was our standard thrips management treatment at planting. The neonicotinoid seed treatments came along, provided pretty comparable control, and growers in the Mid-South made a switch to these products away from Aldicarb. There are several reasons. One, the control was pretty comparable. Two, and probably the primary thing, they were easier to deal with. You had less things to load in the planter. It sped up the planting operations. Well, everything was fine and dandy until the last 3 or 4 or 5 years when we started seeing issues with neonicotinoid seed treatments. And primarily, in the beginning, it was thiamethoxam or cruiser. Several other folks have presented some assay data. This is from Chelsea Darnell, one of our students at Mississippi State. And this is from 2015. You can see in the Mississippi Delta and the hills, the two cotton growing regions, we have resistance ratios that are pretty high. And then we've also seen some with imidacloprid, which kind of threw a monkey wrench in some of the growers' plans because they had moved to imidacloprid away from thiamethoxam. Now the 2014 and 16 data, a little bit different, and if you dealt with resistance, it bounces around from place to place and from year to year. And we were concerned when the growers made this big swap to imidacloprid is, with this much selection pressure, how long is it going to last? So, like I said, we've done these trials for a number of years. It's the commercially available seed treatments, thiamethoxam, imidacloprid, with and without their respective nematode components. We've been looking at acephate seed treatment, which goes back 30 or 40 years. In addition to this year, we included the new Aldicarb formulation that is now at least available on a limited basis. We did counts of thrips, and we also did damage ratings. This is an illustration of the scale from one where you have very little to no damage all the way to five, which is severe injury and or death. We have a lot of data. I'm only going to show part of it for the sake of time. I picked two leaf stages because we had pretty substantial infestations. 45 or so total thrips, adults and immatures, for five plants is pretty substantial. You see, even at the two-leaf stage, we have significant differences in thrips numbers among the insecticide treatments, with acephate at the higher rates and the aldecarb and Aris providing better suppression of thrips populations than some of the other ones. This one, the imidacloprid by itself, or gaucho, is more of a surprise to us this year, because in the past, and I'll get into this a little bit later, there wasn't much difference between Aris and gaucho. If you look at damage ratings, 3 is kind of where the cut of anything above 3, people get concerned. At the two-leaf stage, we're below the non-treated is getting close, but again, you see differential responses to the treatments with the same ones. Gaucho is actually doing much better with preventing damage at, compared to the thrips numbers. And it's 4-leaf stage. Big numbers in the non-treated, almost 100 per 5 plants. Similar trends. In this case, Cruiser is not different from the non-treated with respect to thrips numbers. Evicta and gaucho, somewhat less, but not different. The higher rates of acephate, Aris, and AgLogic providing the best control of thrips adults and immatures. And this is our highest damage ratings that we observed. We're at approximately 3.5 with a non-treated. Significantly lower with gaucho and the not and and cruiser. This is supposed to be a B here. That's my mistake. But again, with acephate at the higher rates, Aris and the aldecarb resulting in the least amount of damage. This is something I want to spend a little bit of time on. This is basically the cumulative number of total thrips from the first to the 4-leaf stage for Aris for these trials over the last 3 years. I just put a trend line. There's no regression to this, but the trends are very similar. And for 14 and 15, gaucho fell right in with the Aris. And this is what got my attention. This is 2014 and 15 for gaucho. This is 2016. The slope of that line is substantially steeper. So this is concerning to me, and the days of us relying on imidacloprid alone may be limited. For yield, saw a lot of difference in thrips injury, saw a lot of difference in thrips numbers. However, all of the insecticide treatments resulted in higher yields than the control. If you've ever worked with thrips, especially in more southern areas, you know that the weather after that thrips window greatly impacts the response you'll see from thrips and thrips management. We had a really good fall in most places, and therefore many of these probably had time to compensate, although there's a well documented that there's a delay in maturity with this. Well, many cases, some growers may say, well, it takes a little bit longer, but the yield's comparable. In the Mid-South, this delay in maturity can be very important, because this could mean an additional 1 to 2 plant bug applications for us, which will make a grower mad in a heartbeat, because he's already spending $50 to $75 an acre off to control plant bugs alone. One thing we did start this year in addition is looking at alternatives to neonicotinoids. We included acephate, infura, and as a seed treatment, Baramark, which is cyazopyr, it's a diamide, infura, and as a seed treatment, Savanto, infer, because we've seen it look really good, infer in some other crops. Aris is as a neonicotinoid comparison, and the traditional 3.5 and 5 pounds of aldecarb per acre. Again, I'm only going to show part of this. We didn't have as much pressure in this trial as we did the other ones, but at the two-leaf stage, we have a lot of variability in thrips numbers compared to the untreated. Savanto and Verimark as a seed treatment did not really reduce thrips numbers compared to the non-treated. Acephate as a seed treatment, Aris and aldecarb performed better than the others. And this is also reflected in the damage. Right now we're at 2 or a little below. We're not up to that 3 level where you would potentially see yield reductions and or delays in maturity. 3-leaf stage, very similar, except in this case, Savanto, the numbers in those plots were much greater than in the non-treated. Again, with aldecarb, Aris, and acephate as a seed treatment performing the best. And as we progress, you can see higher levels of damage, very similar trends. No differences in thrips numbers at the 4-leaf stage. Again, the trends are similar as the previous ones. And I'm in the same with damage ratings. Had more separation in yield in this particular trial. And as you'd expect, acephate, Aris, and AgLogic resulting in the highest yield. One thing we did learn from these, Savanto is not an option for us for thrips management. Cyazypyr shows some promise, but it's not really any better than our other alternatives. So, going forward, if we have total failures of neonicotinoids, we're down to 40 and 50-year-old products, which is acephate and aldecarb supplemented with foliars. That's pretty much what I have. If y'all have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them. Again, I'd like to recognize my collaborators as well as Cotton Incorporated for their support. So if y'all got any questions, I'll do my best. Yes, sir. I'm trying to remember. I think there was probably more variation with acephate. Scott Stewart had probably much less activity out of acephate than other sites. And this is not an uncommon thing. We've seen it for years. Weather and rainfall affects that. But I know y'all have done a lot of those assays from the Mid-South. And even Chelsea's, there's some variability, but it still does not look really good in a lot of places. So, thank y'all very much.